My mind is clear now. At last, all too well, I can see where we all soon will be. If you strip away the myth from the man, you will see where we all soon will be.
To Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Y. I'm Hardy Y. Join me now as we talk about men and myths, gods and ghosts, monsters and monster men, ghost monsters, bugs, bug myths. Oh, we're all on a raft in an open sea and are doomed. Let me do some magic tricks so the children won't get scared. Oh, it's so good to be with you, my friends. My grandfather used to say to me, he would say, "You make a better door than a window." And then he'd take me and he'd hang me in the door frame by my shirt like that on the front door. And I'd hang there and he'd say, "You stay there until I can get to the hardware store and get a proper door." And there I would stay. And my grandmother would come home and she said, "Oh, I see that your grandfather has made a door out of you." But she wouldn't help me down. She just pushed me aside and bring the groceries in. Sometimes I was able to manage to put my hand into the bag and grab out some fudgies. That was my favorite treat. Little squares wrapped in gold foil. But you know, it probably wasn't a bad thing that I was the door. I was able to meet people there. They wouldn't have to ring the bell and bother my grandparents. They could just ask me for entrance. "May I enter at this time?" "No, not at this time. Come back later." And they'd say, "Stop with the Kafka stuff." My grandfather misunderstood a lot of idioms and phrases like that. He heard, "Wherever you hang your hat is your home." So he'd run into people's houses and he'd hang his hat on a nail and he'd say, "Squatter's rights!" So everyone in the neighborhood really belonged to my grandfather. He didn't live in all the houses. He preferred to live in his own. But he wanted to know that everybody knew that that was really his house. Oh, my goodness, and I participated in it because we lived in such a strange neighborhood. I had to listen to my grandfather for guidance. I'd never lived in such a place. We lived by a crossroads, but not the kind you're familiar with. Not the kind that you go to for your guitar lesson where your mother writes a check and she says, "Who do I make? Do I make it out to devil?" And he says, "Yeah, make it out to devil." And then in amount, put soul. And then in the memo, put for guitar lessons. It isn't that kind of crossroads. It's a kind of crossroads. One of the roads is horizontal. But the other crossroad is vertical. And it goes up and down in infinite space and time. Oh, and along that road, that's where we lived, I think. Because we didn't live in normal time. We lived on a offshoot of it, on a cul-de-sac of reality. All the houses were strange in our neighborhood. Now, in a lot of neighborhoods, the old people would die, and somebody new would move into the house. But in this neighborhood, it was the house that would die, and the people would stay there. And we'd say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I see that your house is gone." They'd say, "Yes, but, you know, we'll get a new one." And a new house would appear. But the people always stayed the same. They were like, and I get to know them. And they were very basic people, but they were all very different. Oh, my grandfather taught me so much in his misunderstanding. As far as hanging his hat where his home was, I think he got that from the song. I used to misunderstand that song, too. Because in that song, it says, My father hung his hat and all that, and it would say at the end, "And when he died, all he left me was a loan." And I thought, that's awesome. He left me a loan, and he's dead, so I don't have to pay it back. But what the song means is alone. Oh, when people are gone, we're alone. I don't want you to be alone. We're never alone. You're never alone. You're always surrounded by people. It is like we're on a raft, like all of us are those refugees. And if you think you're not, you're deluding yourself. And if you think you can separate a little portion of your raft out and say, oh, don't come over here, other kind of refugees, I'm a special one, you're still all surrounded by a churning sea. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the things we can find in the sea. Sometimes there's flotsam and jetsam, which are cute little cartoon characters. One of them is a fish, and one of them is a pile of garbage and plastic. Hello, I'm Flotsam and Jetsam. I don't remember all the cute things they would say. You can make those up yourself. Oh, my goodness, as I hang in the doorway there and look out on the neighborhood, I think, does everyone live this way? Does everyone have a doormat that's a mirror to another dimension? I would look down and I would see my own reflection, and occasionally people would pop up through there and they'd say, I'd like to come see your grandfather. And I'd say, my grandfather can't see you right now because he's scaring children. What do you mean? Well, my grandfather has one eye, but he likes to scare children by taking out the good eye and holding it up and all bloody and with a little, the thing still attached, the retina or whatever you call it. Oh, and the children go screaming. And he says, see, that's life. That's life. You see, you're just a pile of goo. You've got gooey eyeballs in this hard skull, and it doesn't endure. Skulls do outlast us, though, don't they? They last longer than we need them. It makes you think, why aren't skulls more disposable? Why shouldn't we make them from styrofoam or something? They seem like they're lasting too long. You find them everywhere, especially on Halloween. You go, man, there are just skulls everywhere. I realize there's not real human skulls. Real human skulls, people get nervous about, say, oh, you have human remains in your house? That's just not right. So what's wrong about it? I don't, by the way. Please don't raid my house for human remains. I don't have them. But I'm not responsible for that person's death, but why can't their body stay here? Oh, no, it must remain hidden. And for a good reason. Otherwise, we might be haunted by the dead. And we need not to be, because we are the new dead. The new generation of dead, and we got to use their personalities and things. I have been reading a book by Maya Deren, and it's called Divine Horsemen, and it's about voodoo in Haiti. Oh, I tell you what, expand your mind, go out there. So I've never heard of Maya Deren. She's a very famous avant-garde filmmaker. What's that mean? Well, she made films like in the 40s and everything that are, to our modern senses, unwatchable, because they're not really. They're watchable to students and people like that, but if you just took your cousin, I don't want to say any names, because I don't want to stereotype or anything. Cousin, blah, ah, like that, just a sound. If I say a name, it might be a stereotype. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that. I want to do something more primal. Your primal cousin who doesn't understand subtlety, maybe. But, you know, you can find your magic anywhere. Art doesn't have to be separated out and doesn't have to be obvious. I like people that are willing. There are two kinds of people in the world, really, in my mind. And, there's millions of kinds, but there's really just two kinds. Kinds that want to buy their nuts already shelled in a bag, and those who are willing to crack open that shell and try to dig out as much nut meat as they can with a special nut meat digger. My grandmother had a lot of nut utensils. She's had a nut cracker, a little nut pick to pick out the meat, and it was like ritual. I like a ritual like that. I like anything that takes multiple tools and steps to make. I just don't want to reach in the fridge and go, oh, I'm just going to have this raw egg. I want to have all sorts of tools. I like when I make tea, I have 500 different tools, and it takes me days. But it's a way of concentrating. And if you say, oh, I'm so lost, Hardy. What do you mean? You're lost what I'm saying? You can't follow me? Or you mean you feel directionless in your life? And you say, well, both. And I tell you what, then you probably ought to not listen anymore because you're going to even question what directions are in a few minutes. Oh my goodness, it's because of my crazy neighborhood. When I wasn't acting as a door for my grandparents, I would go out and try to sell things for my Weebelo troop. The Weebelo troop in my neighborhood was different, though, because we carried swords and all sorts of arms and everything. Our Weebelo hat looked more like some kind of Prussian helmet. And I would go door to door, and I would draw my sword, and I would say, "Are you going to buy these chocolate turtles or not?" And I would put the blade up to the throat of the person. They'd say, "Well, I'll take two." "All right." And they said, "Well, where are my chocolate turtles?" And I say, "You're just committing to buy them in the future. I will be back, and then you will owe me the money for your." It's very much like Rumpelstiltskin or something. Rumpelstiltskin, well, that's the next level up from Weeblo before you get to proper Boy Scout. We didn't distinguish, though. We didn't have gender separation. We just had Scout. We didn't have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, all that nonsense. We just had People Scouts, and we all dressed in the same uniform. And some of it was one of our dress uniforms was a very short skirt, and I didn't mind with the very high 60s boots up to the knee like that. I love that. I didn't mind that at all. So didn't you feel feminine? I feel both feminine and masculine sometimes. All of humanity is in me, is it not? I'm half woman and half man. I don't mean hermaphroditically. Well, maybe that too. I haven't looked down recently because sometimes it's chilly and I don't like to take my pants off. But we are all combination of all those things, aren't we? Oh, I love it. I love being a person. It's so messy. If you want to be neat, you need to be a robot. And we can arrange that. You can have your brain taken out and put in a metal shell. Just like in The Wizard of Oz, the most horrifying story ever told to children. So the Tin Man has had everything cut off. So how is he still the Tin Man? That's interesting, isn't it? It's almost a philosophical problem. He cut off his hand and he got a tin hand. He cut off his arm, he got a tin arm. Eventually cut everything off but his head, got a tin body. And then he cut off his head and got a tin head. Now, is he still a man? Interesting, is it? If we replace everything about ourselves, you think this is going somewhere philosophically, but you and I both know I'm going to change the subject and start talking about chewing gum. Why is that? I'll tell you why that is. Because I don't like to get to conclusions. Conclusions imply the end of things. And I don't like the end of things. It's the butt end. I tell you, if I lean down to kiss my doggy, I don't want my doggy to present its nether quarters to me. That is not the end I want to kiss. Why? I want the end with the eyes. I want the doggy to know that I'm there and that we are both alive and look into each other's eyes and say, there's something magically animated about both of us. Now, if you did that to everybody on the street, they'd look at you crazy. We have to go around and pretend there aren't other people around us. Oh, my goodness, this is not what we did in my neighborhood. Oh, no, no, no. We would just walk into other people's houses and act like we belong there. Is anything for dinner, Mom? We were all interchangeable because we couldn't recognize one another. It was so strange. I didn't even know if I was in my grandparents' house unless I saw that jar of fudges. Then I knew, oh, I'm in the right place. But other than that, sometimes I would just wander into another house. They had beds. They had sinks. They had bidets. They had samovars and all that kind of thing. I said, why is that necessary? I said, well, to make tea. How you gonna make Russian tea? Right? Am I right? You know it. Russian fella out there going, say it, preach it on, preach on, brother. I will. I love an orange flavor to my tea. I love it. I love a little sweetness sometimes. Life gives you both. That's why tea is wonderful, because it's bitter, but then you have a little sweetness, and then you have sweet and bitter, and then you drink it, and you get all keyed up, and you go, oh, God, what'd I do for a joint? Like that. Not always. Sometimes it's just that's because you drink too much, I think, is the problem. Just have a little bit of everything. Say all things in moderation? No, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that? Say, oh, I took the medicine home, doctor, and all things in moderation. So I didn't finish the course of antibiotics. He goes, no, that's idiotic. You have to take them all. And I go, well, that doesn't seem very moderate. This is sometimes call for extremes. not always moderation. So sometimes you got to lose yourself. Oh, there are people around the world that have rituals like that. Well, they let other spirits into themselves because they recognize, oh my goodness, you know what? You know what? It seems to me that there is some force of being a human or being alive that endures even when I'm not here. When I'm dead, other people will still have language and thoughts and things like that. And my personality and things I've done may go into others, and they start saying things I did or acting like I did or something like that. You are a grandpa, and you die, and then your grandchildren, when they get old, they start acting like a grandpa. And you realize, man, that's just like my computer. My computer has this software. When the computer dies, I can put those files and software on another computer, and it keeps going. Now, it's different. It's different because every computer has different experiences and files and different screensavers. Say, where's the screensavers of the little fish going by? Say, we don't need that anymore because things aren't burned into the screen. We don't really need a screensaver anymore. And yet the idea of screensaver endures. And we call out sometimes in our need, oh, fishy, fishy tank screensaver, please reveal yourself to me. And things fade into the background. And my Darren says this in her book when she's talking about Haitian Loa. What are the Loa? Well, I'll give you my feeble understanding. Actually, I have a feeble understanding of everything. Yet that doesn't stop me from saying it authoritatively and wagging my finger because I'm so sure. The Loa are sort of like spirits, sort of like gods, but not God. And sometimes they are based on historical figures. And in her words, what happens is someone may die. Grandpa dies. And grandpa dies, and soon, after some generations, the particulars of his life fade away from our memories. And grandpa turns from a person to a principle. And it becomes the principle of compassion, or it becomes the principle of sternness, or it becomes the principle of endurance or something like that. And then it gets hard to relate to that, doesn't it? How do I summon that? And so then, in her words, the principle becomes the person, and they make it into a character, and they can relate to it again, once again, and say, oh, that old trickster, that old hypersexual crazy trickster is now Gay Day, who can give me good advice and make me laugh in the same breath. Oh, who can teach me about the foibles of being human, how silly our desires, how silly our appetites. We cram food into our mouths. Blah, blah, blah. We have sex. Sex, 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 sex. We make poopies. Poopy, poopy, pee. We do all these crazy, disgusting things. And it's wonderful, isn't it? But there's an enduring sort of wonderful spirit, too, that flies in and out. That's the biological part of life, but there's something else going on. Now, it's not necessarily supernatural, but it's hard to put your finger on it, isn't it? When I'm gone, when this body that has Hardy White in it is gone, Hardy White won't be gone. Somebody else might be Hardy White. Or you say my words, and you can be it, too. I'm just giving Hardy a place to live, a warm body. And then the warm body will perish, and I get to rest, which will be nice, because I'll tell you what, oh, I've got to take all kinds of stomach medicine and everything. It's difficult being a human, difficult being alive, difficult being a doggy, difficult being a human doggy, which is something I accidentally made in one of my experiments. I won't tell you which parts are human and which parts are doggy, but it's very, I can't hardly look him in the eye. So I'm so sorry. You know, you do experiments on your baby cousins and you think, oh, you know, everybody will understand that I crossed him with a terrier. A lot of people don't. Say, why'd you do that? Well, I've made something new. Oh, are people, can we make things out of them? I once got a hundreds of people together, and I'm gonna use them like Legos and stack them up like a thick. But the ones at the bottom started to die. They were crushed by the ones on the top, and I thought, I can't use people as building blocks. What does that tell you? Not everything has a message. I open up fortune cookies sometimes and they're empty, and you think that's terrible, right? That's a bad sign. I don't think so at all. I think that's wonderful. Say, look at that. You know what my fortune is? Anything. Anything. I'll write my own fortune. There's not even a little piece of paper. How will I know what lotto numbers to play? 26, 17, 4, 8, 32, 7. Play those. Win lots of money. Somebody might. And say, Hardy, I want all this money. How about that? How about that? Spend it. Have fun with it now. You can't take it with you. Oh, have we not had those dreams of acquisition? Where we are suddenly in an attic with beautiful antiques or interesting things that we want and that seems to be just for us. You say, oh, look at that neat, cool thing. That's one of those little mechanical birds in a cage from the last century or century before that. Or century, one of them, century 21. I think when you buy a house, they give you that. No, they don't. It would be wonderful, though, if they did say, I'm glad you bought this $200,000 house. Here is a $3 million gift. Usually you just get a succulent in a pot, and then it's dead within a month because you put it outside and it froze. Why did you do that? I feel like I've let you down, real estate agent. You're so good to me. Oh, but long ago they got their cut and they've gone on and now they have business cards made of platinum. And they can open doors. Say, I don't need a lockbox on the door with the key in it. I'll just take this platinum card and open the door like that with it and walk in and say, is this the type of house you would like? Because you're going to get it anyway. That's the same thing with bodies. And that was what was happening on our street. I hung there as the door every day. People would come up, the mailman would come up, and he'd try to shove the mail down my pants. Don't do that, it tickles. And we'd laugh. And I'd also say, hey, I'm getting a lot of junk mail. What's up with that? And he'd say, well, some people just like to put stuff out there and maybe, you know, just anonymously, not really anonymously, but they don't know who you are, but they send you the mail and hopefully you'll come and buy their product or give them some, say, well, I don't even know who they are. That's so strange. Why would I want to do business when I don't know who they are? We're so detached from those who have what we think we need. Perhaps if it was more intimate, we just went to our neighbors for whatever we need. We'd go next door and say, I need a screwdriver. I need a cup of sugar. I need a human head. And I need one of these, what do you call those? Allen wrench? No, it's like a hexagonal, it's curved. Allen wrench? No, it's like, you put it in for stuff that's like a screwdriver. Allen wrench? No, it's the Allen key. Allen key. It's the same thing. Yeah, but I'm looking for an Allen key, not an Allen wrench. Sometimes we give our gods and our spirits different names and we don't recognize them when we see them. That's why we are disconnected as people on earth. So your God is so different than my God. What's your God? My God is called Nun. Oh, N-U-N? No, 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 like I don't have one. Oh, but you do have one in a way. We all have gods and ghosts that animate us. Nobody comes here with an original personality. Y'all have stolen your personalities. Y'all acting like someone else. No one's completely original. You didn't make this language up. Oh, this language may evolve, but it's been here for a long time. Who are our ancestors? Some of these God ancestors that we make into spirits and gods and are very ancient. And we can't relate to them very well. And this is in Haitian voodoo, it's the same way. Some of the more ancient ones like Dambala or something is just a serpent. Because some of our ancestors are so far back that we can't relate to them anymore. And this is true in reality. Our ancestors, some of them are fish or lizards or something. No, really fish, technically. All right, swimming around in there. Now, even though that's our ancestor, it's difficult to find something it can teach us. But as they get closer to us, we know we have those heroes. We make people into, and you can see as people transition from real people into sorts of gods or spirits. Look at somebody like George Washington, reduced to tales, reduced to just elements of his personality. So, oh yes, he's honest, and also he had a little belly on him, didn't he? And he's very tall, and things like that. We remember that. Chop down the cherry tree. Doesn't matter if it's true. Doesn't matter if it's true, because he's become a symbol, something else, something that we can aspire to, but he's not George anymore. George had quirks and said things. We don't remember what he said in private. Like that. Is that how he talked? When he had his mouth full, yes, and he often had his mouth full because he had that little belly. He's a very tall man, so he's hungry all the time. That's very difficult for him to be out in the field. He said, man, I could go, you know what I could go for? Say, what is it, George? Because it's what do we call it? Something of mutton or something? I don't even know what expression we use. See, I've lost so much touch with that. I can't channel him exactly. Oh, beware of charlatans. Beware of those who would speak for the ancestors. Welcome them in your heart and let them speak to you directly. Open up your mind and your heart to others. Oh, we need one another. Do not deceive yourself that these are your immediate cousins. The people that you're alive with on earth right now. Oh, you're so lucky to have one another. It's so temporary. There's nothing better. You don't want to live forever. You'd become an older model. Say, I don't understand these young people. A young person came up to me the other day and he said, Hardy? And I said, yes, young person. And he said, man, are you speaking English? I don't understand a word you're saying. You're speaking the young people talk. And I'm still speaking the old way of speaking. And he said, what? And I said, can you not hear me? I can't hear you. You are fading away across history. What? I say you are fading away across history. And now as centuries go by, we can no longer hear those voices of the past. And so we look to literature and song, and we somehow pass along those spirits. What are you going to do with yours? I'm going to put mine in a jar. Oh, the ancient Egyptians put their viscera in little jars like that and say, What is that? Is that viscera in a jar? And go, no, that one's Vegemite. But here is the mummified liver of the pharaoh. Let's do a blind taste test. Can't tell the difference. I can't believe it's not pharaoh. No, it's Vegemite. Delicious. Now, I'm going to put my soul in a jar, just like they do in Haiti. I think I'm going to do that. I say, here, just keep it. Now, keep it somewhere nice. Where can I possibly put it that nobody's going to mess with it? Because eventually everything gets broken and lost, and I know eventually my soul will be broken and lost. You hang on to it for as long as you can. What's going to happen to Hardy White after I'm gone? Oh, there might be a handful of videos and a handful of radio shows, and you can listen to those, and you can say, here, Hardy White said this joke here, take that. Hardy White said something wise here, take this. But I'm gone, and you'll never be able to ask me my opinion of something that happened in the modern times. And I guess what? I'm going to give you the power to form my opinion when I'm gone. You can have it. Say, what would Hardy say? He'd say, I don't know. Probably. Say, I don't know today. Oh, go out there today. It's the end of the day, so you got nothing to lose. And just a couple times today, promise yourself you're going to say, I don't know. I've asked questions of people, and this is practically my mantra now, along with O Bala Kalambamban Santantara, which is my real mantra. But this is the one I say all the time, is I'll ask somebody a question, and they will answer. It's always amazing. They'll answer no matter what. We are a species of answerers. We like to have an answer. We can't say, I don't know, because it feels weak. It feels as if we will let the other person down, or the other person will think that we are stupid, or we are less than them. and our pride will not allow us to feel as if we are less than someone else. How dare they lord that over me? But we're all different, and we all know different things. I do not know many languages. Here's all the languages I am fluent in. I guess English. And I don't know what you mean by fluent. Because sometimes somebody will say a word, and I go, I do not know that word. Therefore, am I not fluent in my native language? And we have all sorts of native languages. It's not always the language that comes out of our mouth. Sometimes it's the way we think. Sometimes it's our music. Sometimes it's the way we dress. Oh, those are languages too. And just because they're specific to us doesn't mean that other people don't have the same feelings. Oh, those people that you think are so different across the globe because they're eating squid balls or something. So those people are so different than me. They believe crazy things. They are so different. Oh, they're not at all. That's the thing. They've got different ancestors and they see things a little different, but it's the same world. It's just the other end of the raft. Look at that fella throwing up on the other end of the raft. He doesn't have the sea legs that I have. Oh, just thinking about being on a boat sometimes. I have nightmares of being on cruises. They're never good. And I'm always stuck on the boat. It's never in port or anything. So I'm never, the cruise nightmare is never me walking off the plank and saying, oh, look at these beautiful straw hats. It must be Nassau. It's never that. It's always like I'm walking down these halls of this boat and say, how long have I have on this ship? What should I do? Who am I? Who's driving the ship? Where am I? Oh, we all feel lost like that. That's why, come on, there's a special room where the bunch of silly old people are sitting around and they'll talk to you. Oh, my goodness, don't think about the past and the future. I mean, do think about it because of taxes and everything like that and your health. But take some time out. Make a special day that's timeless. But you don't have to worry about those things. You can just be with people without that feeling of doom. Throw it away temporarily. Relax. Have a meal with people that you love and invite one person that you don't love because you need them. You need a disruptive force. Occasionally, when you're trying to make things right, you need Papa Gay Day or Baron Samedi to come in and wreck it. To be silly and to turn over your, drop something on the floor and to start cussing and doing something suggestive just to tell you, hey, you forgot you're a human being temporarily. You're trying to make everything perfect. I like those comedies where there's always some kind of clown that's wrecking everything. I always liked that there was a movie that was it with Peter Sellers and Ringo Starr or something, Magic Christian, I think it's called. And they went around, they were wealthy, and they run around just causing havoc. I love the Three Stooges. Three Stooges walk into a party, and all of a sudden it's chaos because the Three Stooges are sort of loa. The Three Stooges represent something, don't they? They resent our foolishness, our childlike nature, our misunderstanding of the world, and they end up causing confusion. And you can say, oh, why not the Marx Brothers? The Marx Brothers I love, but they always strike me as, every time I see the Marx Brothers, I think, these people are 10 times smarter than I am. You're not fooling me, Groucho. You're not fooling me, Harpo. You're not fooling me, Chico. Gummo, I don't know. I think I could, I'm not sure. But I'll tell you what, with the rest of them, the Marx Brothers, they're just smarter than me. I feel a little intimidated. Well, the Stooges, I know not to eat a wooden fish off a display plaque. I know not to put a pot holder in my cake. They're just stupid. And so am I. And so am I. The Stooges are full of pride. And so am I. And so am I. Are you reading a poem? No, not really. I just like to do that for effect. Oh, because I didn't invent poetry. I didn't invent song. I didn't invent the way I speak. I didn't invent talking to people. I didn't invent church. I didn't invent repeating myself like this for rhetorical effect or taking a pause to make it more dramatic. I did not invent varying the volume of my voice. I did not invent speaking softly as a way of drawing you in. None of that is mine. I'm using it. I live in a house. And I say it's my house. But I was looking around online and I found pictures of the original owner of my house. And I found a picture of him in my basement. Right now, I'm looking at it. Right now, I'm in my basement right now. I can look at it. And he's standing. I'm pointing where he was standing. He was standing right there. And it was his house. And he actually was the first person to live in here. I don't even remember his name. Now I've forgotten his name. He could still be standing there. He's dead. And I realize that there was somebody living in this house after I'm gone. I drive by houses that I used to live in, or you drive by your childhood house and you see other people coming and going, and it feels odd. What are they doing in my house? Imagine if you were a ghost. What are you people doing here? This is the most intimate, personal place. I thought it was part of me. I thought this house was like a shell and I a tortoise.
Yep, that's what I thought.
But it isn't. And then I looked at my body and I thought, uh-oh, this body's like a house and it's going to be gone. As I was hanging there in the doorway of my grandparents' house, I looked at all the other houses, and gosh darn it, if there wasn't other people standing in the doorways. Other doorkeepers. Other people with one foot on the outside and one foot on the inside who had decided that their lives were going to be about standing in front of the gate or standing at the crossroads and helping people understand that they're okay, and understand the journey, and understand how to straddle the infinite. How do you straddle the infinite? Well, first of all, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt. It's like riding a horse. It's gonna net you're especially if you're a gentleman. Your gentleman things are gonna get. But no one likes to get repeatedly funked in the crotch area, and not in a good way, you know what I mean? So it's hard to straddle, it's hard to ride a horse, and it's hard to be a horse. It's hard to bear the riders of thousands of generations. It's hard to carry their dreams and ambitions with you. All the things that you inherit, your values, your religion, your sense of art, your aesthetics, you've all inherited them, and they are all imprinted with the prejudices, the expectations, the delusions, the aspirations of those long gone. And that's why sometimes it feels burdensome. What should I do? I feel like my job is not important enough. I feel like I'm not making it in life. What am I supposed to do? I tell you what, that's because you've got the expectations of the dead on your back. This is your life. This is your life. And they're gone. And that's why we need to send them off. That's why when the dead are buried, turn them around. Get them confused so they don't come back. Send them on their way. It's your turn. It's your turn. Do not be haunted by them. It's your turn. It's your turn. Step aside. There are those that cling to their childhood. There are comic book stores crowded by older men. Oh, excuse me, sir. I'm looking at this comic book. Get out the way. Get out of the way and let the children through. Do you not understand that you must transition? It is your turn to do something else. And as we move into different phases of our lives, some people remain in denial. So I'm going to do, I'm going to run. I need the body of a young person. I do not begrudge you your health. But I see so many people with these old elderly heads stuck on these firm, brilliant bodies. And that's wonderful. I think it all would be fit. But some of it, if you've done it because you think you're 20 and not 60, then think again, and think again, and then think again, and then think again, and then have a drink, and then go to sleep, and then wake up, and then you can't think, because you're like, oh man, maybe how many drinks did I have? I'm just going to baby myself today. Oh, then we suckle ourselves. I can't do it because I have neck problems. But what do you need? I wish I could give it to you. Fun? Want me to distract you for a minute? Look over here. You want me to show you a magic trick? Okay, I'm going to pick a card. Hang on. Wait. I saw a young man was showing me magic tricks the other day, card tricks. Kept doing that. Hang on now. Oh, just a minute. I have to turn around. I go, why are you turning around? No reason. Here. And so it wasn't very magical to me, you know, because he was struggling with it. But eventually, he'd get it down, and he'd be able to show it to children, and they'd be amazed by the magic. Oh, what magic do you have that you can show to the younger generation? Is it how to make music? Is it how to make poetry? We have commodified our art to such an extent that we think that we can't even make it. We think that it's something special. It's become, everything has become chopped up in our lives. So religion is this over here. Art is this. And you know, I think school does that to us too. Say, oh, I'm going to art class. Then I'm going to science class. Then I'm going to music class. Then I'm going to religion class. All those things were separate. Well, they have religion class at your school. Oh, it's a general survey. It's not an, oh, all right, that's all right. You think all these things are separate. And so we think we can't do them. I'm not the artistic type. You can make anything you want. Oh, don't think that somebody else is a gatekeeper to beauty. You can see the beauty. But a lot of things right now, we've had a veil drawn over our eyes. People want to keep us a little blindfolded so they can sell us things we already have. Listen to me. You're blindfolded and you're being sold things that you already have. A man or a woman is coming up to you and they're plunging their hand into your chest and they're pulling out your heart and then they're trying to sell it back to you. Don't let them do it. You already have what you need. You already have what you need. As far as things that aren't food or all that. That you still need, and you still got to go to the market to get that. I don't know what to tell you, but growing vegetables and getting food and all is a lot of work. So you have to give something back to that. What can you give the person? Well, I make chairs. All right, give them a chair, and they'll give you a bushel of zucchini. Zucchini? I don't want zucchini. Well, whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to go into specifics. I was hanging there in the doorway. And the mirror welcome mat started to move. And a person stood up and they faced me. And they say, I need to see your grandfather. And I said, who are you? And they said, I'm your grandfather. I said, I'm very confused. You look like a young person. Are you my grandfather from another time? No. You misunderstand. I'm very much like your grandfather. I'm kind of surly, and I'm kind of gruff, and I'm a very, very, very hard worker, and I don't have a lot of patience, and I'm slightly sarcastic, but I'm also very wise, and I will never give you the wrong answer. I will always try to be helpful to you, but I do not have any patience for phoniness. And I say, man, you are my grandfather. So why do you need to see him? I say, well, I have to remind myself that this is something I've inherited, that it isn't something I've invented, and that there are other grandfathers, and they're the same way. I want to pay tribute to him. I want to thank him. I want to thank the dead. I want to thank my ancestors. Now, I'm somebody who doesn't have a lot of family. I'm also somebody who doesn't have a lot of connection to my immediate ancestors who I knew. We're not a lot alike. But I have other ancestors. I have ancestors who have influenced the way I live my life, who I'm not related to and who I have never met. Do you understand? So my Darren can be my ancestor and Gertrude Stein, K. can be my ancestor. And Ava Hess can be my ancestor. Do you hear me? Oh, you feeling what I'm saying? All these things. George Washington can be my ancestor. He represents something. Like me in my Weeblow uniform with my sword. I'm undefeatable. And I let those people into my heart when I need them. Because I know I made up all of them. I'm a collage made of people. Oh, stuck to me. Collage made of people. I think it's probably some Japanese performance art like that, where they're all humans stuck to a wall and everything like that. Royal, how they do that? That's so beautiful. Oh, I let myself find all this beauty where I can. But you have to be open to it. Don't expect that it's going to come in the form of a movie. We've now expected everything's going to come in the form of an Avengers movie. So I will not be really, truly excited until I see an Avengers movie. Until I see a Lord of the Rings movie. But I tell you what, you know where the Lord of the Rings came from? A head. And I'm not saying he's addicted to marijuana or anything. I mean, it came from Jar Jar Tolkien's head. He saw it in his head. You can see that and more in your head, in your mind, in the world. There are orcs in the world. There is danger and war in the world. There are real challenges. And when he was writing that, there were world wars going on. You understand? The killing was real. The pain was real. And if you want to imagine all these things around it to give you strength, that's how you got to do it. You go into battle. You can't go into battle soft. You can't go into battle. You have to let one of those ancient warriors into you and just be just the warrior character. If I go into a hospital, I can't be the warrior character. I have to put that aside. And then I am the doctor character. And the doctor spirit comes on me and I'm gentle. Sometimes I'm the grandmother spirit. Sometimes I'm the spirit of lust. Do not deny all the urges that are within you. Do not be embarrassed by your humanity. Bless you. We all have it. You're trapped. We're biological. We all have sexuality and appetites beyond our control sometimes. Bless you. We help each other, though. We help each other understand and control, and then we eat. And we eat together, and we make something like that that's a biological necessity into art and something beautiful. You could just go up and go and shove raw food in your mouth like an animal. But think of what we do with it. We make it into something artistic. Your granny, who never painted a painting in your life, was an artist. When she would make that food, it was just like an artist. Her palate is potatoes and cheese and flour. You understand? And her artist studio is that kitchen. So well, my granny didn't cook, my grandfather did. Fine, I just saying, because my grandmother did most of the cooking in our house. Was she a great cook? No. A lot of people exaggerate about how well that she'd love to cook, and she cooked every day, and I would say I got very used to her food. But I realize a lot of times it's slightly greasier than really I liked. Oh, sometimes life is slightly greasier. You must take the paper towel of blah, blah, put some word in there. I'm not, everything I say isn't profound. I'm not here to do that. Have you figured that out yet? It's distraction. I'm hoping that maybe something, if you had something bad happen to you today, that I made you giggle once or twice. But at the same time, give you something that is useful to you, that you might be able to use, to give you hope, give you a tool. You come over to my house and you say, my washing machine is broken. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you're sad. Yeah, my washing machine is broken, Hardy. I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to tell you a joke to make you happier, and I'm going to give you a damn screwdriver so you can fix it. Do you understand? You want to help people? Give them two things. fix their soul, and then help them fix the problem. That's what you got to do. Oh, my goodness, and we can all do that for one another. You don't have to be an expert. I'm no expert. You want me to be perfectly honest of what I'm qualified to do? Nothing. You want to see my CV? You want to see my, what's the one, the non-academic one? My resume? You must be an academic. You said curriculum vitae instead of, I'm not, though. I'm just, I'm deluded. You want to see, I'm not qualified to do anything. Isn't that amazing? And yet here I am. You say, well, that's very pretentious of you or something. Is that the right word? No, but I don't care. That's very presumptuous of you. That's what it is. I knew it was a P word. I almost said penis. But I'm doing it anyway because I think that it is worth the gamble to help. Even if I look foolish or I fail, I feel like it's worth it. I feel like it's worth it to make things better. I have a prejudice. I'm going to tell you my prejudice right now. It's towards love. It's towards creation. It's towards peace. I'm definitely a peace bigot. I always prefer that. I prefer love and gentleness and peace. I think that the violence and all that and the selfishness, that takes care of itself. I don't have to contribute to that one bit. I'm going to work towards something else. I'm going to work towards loving one another, or at the very least, tolerating one another. And to tolerate one another, you have to take a lot. Oh, you have to take a lot. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's easy to say, I want to live with a lot of people. But then the odor hits you. Or people's stupid habits. And it's hard not to want to choke the life out of them for leaving crusty macaroni and cheese bowl in their bedroom or something when you need it. But that's tolerance. Say, well, we're just going to have to talk about it. Everything is going to have to be work. Every time you plant that field and you harvest the corn, you're not sad because you go, oh, I got to plant that field again. That's life. You're going to get a rest from it. You will die. But you've got all this inheritance, all the myths, all the ghosts, all the gods, all the ancestors, all the poems, all the songs, all the languages yours. You can use it anytime. You can be any of them. There's lots of characters available. Search in your soul and see which of them you are. Oh, they're not running things. You're running things. They don't run the show. I'm not saying we're all possessed by the past. You're in charge. You're in charge, bless you. Oh, my goodness. And you're in charge of bringing. What are you going to bring? Oh, Thanksgiving dinner coming up in a few weeks. What are you going to bring with you? I'll tell you what. I'll just assign things. You bring the turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes. And I'm going to bring a bowl of fudgies. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Yeah, but you make that turkey so well. People always do that to me. Oh, you make it so well. Why don't you do it? And it works. Flattery always works. I always want to feel like I am special. And we can make each other feel like that. There's nothing wrong with that. You require pleasure sometimes. Allow yourself to feel it. So many of you are your own enemy. Stop. Stop right now. Stop that. You know you love you. You're so lovable. Come on. Forget about it. You're alive. It's amazing. You're alive. Look at you. You're different. Look at you. You only got one eye. You ain't got no eyes. That's fine. We're all different. That's what you get to experience this world with. But you're here. Oh, you're here, and there's been people just like you in the past. Bless you. When I hear from you, I can't tell you how electrifying it is. When I hear from people I've never met, and they say, oh, Hardy, you said something. And I say, yes. Thank you, I guess. Right? no judgment or anything. But, just knowing that I've connected with another person who's on this earth at the same time that I am. I feel like we got something in common. We're among the living. Let's not forget that. Stop torturing one another. I can't take it. I can't take the animosity anymore. I can't take the hate directed at people who have done nothing to you. It's all fear of what they're going to do. You know, and I'm not saying, are you saying wait until they have attacked me? I don't know, man. But it just seems to me that, you know, in the martial art that I studied, called Ralph Steinmalgren, you remain soft, okay, until you don't have to be. So that way you can still be sensitive to the things that are coming at you. You're not hard and rigid. You're soft. You're yielding like water, all right? And then you're hard when you have to be, in small increments, when the danger is real. But until that point, you are soft and you are flexible and you can go with the flow. But then you come and you're going to hurt that child, bang, like that. That's the way I work or try to aspire to. Oh, we are so lucky. You know what we're lucky to have? I'm just going to say real briefly, less than 60 seconds instead of 60. I'm just making excuses for myself. I'm sorry because I'm embarrassed. I should be able to speak. We're lucky to have WFMU, aren't we? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so lucky to be here. But I'm just going to ask you once, say we're doing a little mini silent fundraiser. I'm not going to bug you a lot, but I just wonder if you could go to my little page and just help out a little bit, keep this station going, because that's how we do it. You don't have to pay me. So if you want me to have no money, that's good. That's already taken care of. I'm completely money free, but the station does need it because they got real tangible things to do. That's all I'm going to say or allowed to say. I know rules. I usually break them. It's very difficult for me to I'm a trickster. I like to, you know, just break the ones that aren't super important just for the heck of it. Not to be mean or anything, just to let people be a little more loosey-goosey, less rigid. But that's just me. I feel like that's my job. And I just want to thank you once again, my friends. And you are my friends. I don't care if you don't even like me. I'm just going to call you my friend until the day I die. Nothing you can do about it. I know that's aggressive. But I'm so thankful that you lend me your ear like this every week. Well, not every week. Okay, that's okay. I don't want you to burn out. So thank you so much for writing your old college roommate and say, hey, man, Tony, I think you're going to like this. Tony writes back, and goes, I don't know. It's not my cuppa. But still, thank you so much for supporting me and for being my friend. And, you know, I'm just a weak human being. And sometimes when I'm depressed or sad, you have absolutely healed my heart. Do you know you've done that? So if you think you'd never done anything or helped anybody, oh, my goodness, so many of you helped Hardy White. I can't even tell you. It's countless. So I'm very, very blessed. Do not give up on yourself ever because you're doing good things. You can do them. Oh, the power you have. It might be subtle, and someone may never know that you are a secret wise man or a secret magician, and that you're changing the world from your tiny, humble apartment, and that you're doing great things. Not everybody has to know. Maybe only one person knows. But, oh, if you want to be eternal, you're on your way. Oh, friends, what am I listening to? Well, if you don't like it, I'm reluctant to tell you. But if you do like it, you're listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9 in Rockland County. Oh, Rockland County, I reach out to you. Please write me. I think one person from Rockland County has ever written me an email, and that's all right. Not judging. Oh, bless your hearts. My friends, thank you for tuning in, tuning on, tuning down, tuned, and all that. And I will see you again next week.
Down, 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 down Where you want to start to building your immune system up, where you will be able to go through this winter and possibly not come down with a cold or come down with a flu, any other virus. That's why you should visit the Spiritual Workshop and ask us what to give you. Sure, we'll give you, my friend, that echinacea. We'll give you that sharp cartridge to help to make sure that that immune system is built up good and strong. You won't be susceptible to flus, to colds, runny nose, headaches, my friend. You need to visit that Spiritual Workshop. You know we have things there to help you win. Things there that would help you get your luck back. Things there that will help you get your love life back on track. Things there, my friends, do you want to lose weight? You're overweight right now? Oh, we have items there for you. That is the wonderful Spiritual Workshop. They're winning. They're coming in. They're getting the kilns. They're getting the ores. They're getting the loaded stone package.
Lord, remember me.
Remember me, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Remember me, Jesus.
I know the Lord.
Remember me, Jesus.
Will remember me.
Remember me, Lord.
Mother, Lord.
Remember me, Jesus.
The Father, too.
Remember me, Jesus.
Said he would.
Said he would remember.
Hey, hey, remember me.
Remember me, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Remember me, Jesus.
I know the Lord.
Remember me, Jesus.
Will remember me.
Remember me, Lord. Remember me, Jesus.
Said that you would.
Said that you would.
Remember me. Said Jesus there's a cross alone and all the world will be. No, there's a cross to everyone and there's a cross for me. Said he would.
Said he would. Remember me.
Remember me.
Remember me, Jesus.
The Lord.
Remember me, Jesus.
I know the Lord.
Remember me, Jesus.
Will remember me.
Remember me, Lord.
Father, too.
Remember me, Jesus.
Said he would.
Said